Well, we have an infallible record. Nothing wrong with the book. This one. Thank God for the songbook. This one's above that one. It's the Holy Bible. Amen. This isn't a Bible for birds. This is a Bible for sheep. Hallelujah. And sinners who want to get out of hell and go to heaven. Amen. Get out of their sin and go to glory. I believe the book. Like the old black preacher, he says, I believe the book from kiver to kiver, and I believe the kiver too. It says Holy Bible. I believe it all, fellas. You don't, shame on you. You haven't been taught right. I believe the book. Amen? By the way, another preacher, and he said, when I comes to a certain place, southern preacher, he says, when I comes to a certain place and I don't understand it, he said, I just approves it and goes on. Amen? Don't try to correct the book. We'll learn more by and by. We're not there yet. Hello? Praise God. I've got the book. You know where they lost the book in the Old Testament? They lost it right in the house of God. By the way, the right translation, the Word of God, is the authorized King James Version of the Bible, 1611. If you have another one, get one of them. It's the best. Hallelujah. Amen. Stick to the old book. It was good for 400 years in America. I don't know why we need some new Bibles today. Now, if you don't understand that, listen, don't be my enemy. Amen. I've compared hundreds of hours versions way back in the 60s when they didn't have as many of these versions, but they were coming in. And I found that this is the one. I felt that way when I first started studying, but I feel that way more now when we've got such a proliferation of poor translations. Terrible. Thank God for the Word of God. We don't have to wait for a perfect book when we get to heaven. We've got one right here. If there's anything wrong, it's wrong with us. Nothing wrong with God nor His book. Hello. Now that'll preach too. I want to speak to you this morning about looking. We need to look. But before I do, let me mention this. These are the up-and-coming things for our church here now. I wanted to mention youth camp here. That's down the ways a little while from there. That's June the 13th. We could add another thing, that June the 4th, there will be the Shivery over in Gatesville. We'll be doing the soul-winning thing. I thank the Lord for the privilege. My wife and I made a quick run down there on Friday and came back the same night, all the way 3.5-4 hours, especially with picking up Brother Stewart and his wife. And we were on the road for 8 hours plus. And then we got into Austin. Where's Brother Dormany? Austin at what? 9 and 10 o'clock. I couldn't even get through Austin at 9 and 10 o'clock at night. Not in the morning, at night. Pray for their road system down there. It's terrible. Amen. Brother Dormany says, I made it another day. Driving down there so that he can fly all over. He's going over there to, where is he going? He's going to Germany or somewhere? He's going to Germany in May. So he's even going across the waters, the Atlantic Ocean. All right. But during the camp time, June the 13th through the 17th, we'll be having Michael Radeba, one of our missionaries. In the morning, he'll be preaching or teaching the things about missions in the morning. And then evangelist Paul Crow will be with us throughout the week. He'll be preaching in the evening. He's Norman Stevens encouraged us to have him. And these are, we trust, two real good brothers. He happened to have that week free as well. And I thought, he's going to be in the area here. He was already lined up with us the next week for a Wednesday night meeting. And so I asked him about the other. And I trust it'll be a great camp week. Great camp week. Did you like the bulletin this morning? Wasn't that a beautiful picture on the front? I don't know where it is. Here it is. We got the two others. Wasn't that just glorious? I don't know where that is. Probably out in Washington State or something. What a glorious picture that is. Amen. Thank the Lord for our bulletins. By the way, we trust that you will you will read them and put them up in your place so you can mark. This is mainly something that many churches don't have bulletins, and we have it so that you can put it up in your locker, fellas, or wherever in your room or on your refrigerator if you're a newcomer here. And then the first page, it has most of the activities throughout the regular week. And we do this so that you can find out what's going on and not come in much, much, much later into the after you've already been in the church for a long time, and then you find out that we have something going on a certain time, and it's been going on all that time. So it's a big help to you. So take a bulletin and then pray for us, and we have much information in here about sick people and all different ones, and there's probably many others. If you want anybody added, by the way, I don't know if I saw Brother William's name in here. Maybe we ought to put him in there too. Of course, everybody. We don't want anybody forgotten. He's over in Korea at this time. Pray for him and his family going over there shortly. So by all means, let us know your prayer requests so we can put them in there. All right. Look not back and look not behind thee. The angel told Lot's wife, look not behind thee. And she looked. She turned into a pillar of salt. I was thinking, and I told my boy Stephen on the phone last night, I told him my little outline here. I've got, look not thou on the wine when it moves itself, and then a proud look, and then look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, and then lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they're white already to harvest. And then I've made a covenant with mine eyes, why then should I think upon a maid? And then lastly, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. But I was arrested with this thought about Lot and Lot's wife. As I'm going through my Bible that's in my Bible reading this week, and I thought, look not behind thee. How we need to be careful that we obey the Word of God. Explicitly obey the Word of God. Or we'll pay a great price. Great price. The angel said, look not behind thee. And she looked. Every time I pick up because Jesus said, remember Lot's wife, I will encourage you every time you pick up a salt shaker and shake the salt on there. If Jesus said, remember Lot's wife, she turned into a pillar of salt. And all God's people said. So every time you use the salt shaker, we use that more, almost more even in America than the sugar bowl. Because our sugar is already all in all our cereal and everything else. But we use that salt. Every time you shake some salt on there, remember Lot's wife! Jesus said so! Take heed! You need to think about Lot after this too. The terrible, incestuous mess that he went through. Read that yesterday. Got drunk, had sin with his own daughters, and the girls had children by their own daddy. That caused the Ammonites and the Moabites. What a mess. That's the last year. But he was a believer with all my heart and soul and mind and being. I tell you, he was saved as much as you and I or anyone Old Testament saint could have been. And just Lot vexed his righteous soul. Sinners don't have righteous souls. Amen? And they're not just either. Amen? But Jesus did not say, remember Lot. He said, remember Lot's wife. Mm-mm. She didn't make it, did she? I don't think she was saved. I think she's lost as lost can be. She was down there. That's the place for the Dead Sea. You know, the Dead Sea is the Salt Sea. They say Sodom was right down there in the lower part of the Dead Sea, or somewhere in there. Everyone I've ever looked at, Brother Walton, it says that's where it was. And that's a stinky place. There's great mineral wealth there, but it's so salty, it's probably more salty than Salt Lake City, Utah. Great wealth and minerals in there, but you can have the whole mess. Give me the Sea of Galilee, where they catch fish. Fish in the Dead Sea. They couldn't live in there. It's dead. Everything empties into it, and nothing comes out of it. Look at Genesis 19, verse 17 with me. Genesis, the book of beginnings. It was so glorious to just finish up the book of the Revelation and then start with Genesis. When I finish reading the Bible, you all ought to be reading through the Bible. We all ought to have family devotions. Read and pray with your wife, fella. Thank God for your wife that you have a wife to even read the Bible with and pray with. Amen? You say, well, I used to do that. Well, start again. You got to have a good starter if you're going to be a good Christian. Self-starter. Amen? Just start again. Say, we used to read a Bible verse or a chapter and then pray every day. Start again. You say, well, I have trouble doing that. I'm not even married yet. Well, you better start now and you won't have any trouble when you get married. If you have personal devotions now. And if you get engaged to some girl and she's not here, you ought to have devotions on the phone. It's so cheap now. Amen? These cell phones. Burn the cell phone right up. Praying with each other over the phone. Amen? Reading the Bible with each other over the phone. Pray with people on the phone. Witness to people on the phone. Win them to Christ on the phone. Everybody's got a phone stuck in their ear now. Used to be just the music. Now it's a cell phone or the music. I don't know. We're wired for the right or wrong thing, that's for sure. You better be wired to the glorious God of heaven. Well, you found your place already? Stand with me. We'll read two verses of Scripture. The other one's in Luke 17, verse 32. Luke 17, verse 32. So we'll let you have both. Well, that's a short one. 17:32. That's probably the second shortest verse in the Bible. The shortest one is Jesus wept. That's what we taught our children before they could talk properly. Jesus wept. Amen. Teach your children the Bible. So we're in Genesis chapter 17, Genesis 19, verse 17. 19:17. We'll read this together in unison, then we'll read over in Luke 17, verse 32. I already gave you the whole outline, so it ought to be quick to preach it. All right? Gave you a long introduction. Pray that I'll be merciful on you. Don't you dare leave in the middle of the sermon either, unless you're an expecting mother or have some other problem. No, we love you here. We even let the kids sleep on the carpet if they get tired. Or I allow them to. Their parents might not, but I do. Amen. All right. Chapter 19, verse 17. Let's read it together, please. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, be consumed, lest thou be consumed. Then over to this very short verse here, in Luke 17, 32. Luke 17, verse 32. Let's just say this one together, please. Remember Lot's wife. I will remind you, these are the words of the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, bless, we pray now, the exposition of a few of these verses. We pray that we would be filled with Thy Spirit, not the flesh, but the Spirit of God. Dear God, we pray that God's people would be praying for the pastor regularly, daily, and especially on the Lord's Day, that I would preach the truth of Thy Word with power. Dear God, I pray that we would be lifting up one another in prayer. Help us now, we pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Bring souls to thyself, Lord, as we saw those precious six souls. Thank you for my wife leading that one to Christ on Friday. Thank you for the others that led souls to Christ. Brother Stewart, I believe, led some to thee. And there, dear Lord, the six or seven that I showed how to be saved. Thank you, Lord. I pray for our little Ernie, 14-year-old Ernie Villarreal. I pray for him, Lord. Oh, I believe he really got saved that day. What a fine-looking young man. Oh, we pray, dear Lord, that that was his glorious day of salvation and his life will never be the same again. Maybe you'd call him to preach, keep him clean and pure, and make him a great soldier and a great preacher maybe of thy precious holy word, a great servant. And we'll thank thee in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It says here, look not behind thee. And she looked. I want to give you a few thoughts about this that I never thought about before when I was going through this. She was there in the house for sure, almost 100% for sure, when the angels were brought into the house in Sodom. She was there when her husband, when these perverts all came to the door and they wanted those angels. They wanted them to come out there that they might know them, that they might sin with them. You know what Sodom's all about? Sodomy? They wanted to sodomize these two men. And so Lot, he goes out of the door and he says, I got two virgin daughters. I'll let you misuse them. But not these two men. The Bible says the angels grabbed Lot and pulled him back in the door. I believe Mrs. Lot was in the house. And the angels smote those wicked people with blindness. It said they came from every quarter. All over town they came because they found out these two men had come into the house to sojourn there. Wicked, vile, homosexuals, perverts. And God smote them with blindness. And I believe that Mrs. Lot knew that they were smitten with blindness and couldn't even find the door. That was a miracle, friends! And then Mrs. Lot was told by the angels, as well as him, Lot, because he went over to his relatives' house to try to get them to come out with him. His son-in-law's and his daughter's house that were married. And they mocked. It was said he was like one that mocked. They didn't believe him, the daughters, the married daughters and sons-in-law. They burned up in Sodom. But Mrs. Lot knew all this. She knew of the miracle of the blindness. She knew that these were men of God. They had told Lot that he's going to destroy the city and soon and get your stuff and get out of here. And they said another thing, don't look back. The two girls did not look back, the two daughters. And Lot did not look back, but Mrs. Lot looked back and she turned into a pillar of salt. As an example to us to not disobey the Word of God. I think we think so lightly of sin today, I'm just getting sick of it. Sin is a great abomination to God when we sin against God knowingly. He said, don't look back. They said, don't look back. And she looked back. Presumptuous sin. Presumptuous sin. She already got the instructions. She didn't listen. Hello? You young men are better listen when God says that fornication is terrible sin and adultery is terrible sin. You better stay away from young women. Amen? Or you'll be sorry you didn't listen to this preacher and you didn't listen to God's Word one day when you try to keep your mind clean when you get a nice girl, if God would be so gracious to do that for you. Amen? Keep yourself for God! Talked to a young man just yesterday over at Walmart. Soul winning time. And I talked to him and he said, I have two prayer requests. He's from New Mexico. His wife's over there. He's only been married not even a year. You could just tell he'd lived a wild life. He said, pray for me while I'm gone from my wife, that I'll not commit sin. Pray for my flesh. I thought to myself, he can't even make it a week without being under great attack from the devil. But then again, you better stay close to your wife, fellas. Amen? Maybe he'd been here a while yet, like it was just a week. Then the second request, he said, pray that I'll be a witness to my men in uniform down here. He's in the Air Force. I had prayer for him. I said, I may forget to pray for you. I'll pray for you right now. And then afterwards, he said, can I pray for you, Pastor? And he prayed. And he said, boy, I thank God for this pastor who's so bold that he talks about the Word of God and goes right up to people that he doesn't even know and talks to them about their soul. Pray for the young man. Flesh is no good. You know what I told him? I said, I need prayer in that same area that I'd be true to my wife. I said, thank God I've never been with any other woman, and glad of it too. Hallelujah. People look at me now and act like I'm the only thing that's the strangest thing that ever happened in this world. Well, God made me that way. Hallelujah. Amen. People used to keep themselves for their wife or their husband. What are we doing now? Some people say, oh, you're sheltering your girl or your boy. We better have some sheltering. We won't have any clean preachers in the pulpit in the future. We better be careful with our little girls, who they're around, and who's around them. Amen? Look not behind thee. When God says don't look, don't look! The second thing is, look not thou upon the wine. That's in Proverbs 23, verse 31. Let's read the whole verse. Proverbs 23:31. It says here, look not thou. Well, we need to read the whole portion there, but I don't know that we have time for that. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red. Oh, this was one of the questions of this young man as well. He said, what do you do with perverts? I said, we try to get them saved. But we don't sanction their perversion. And we don't want them around our church unless they want to repent. Amen? Look not thou. He asked about drinking. He said, so you think it's a sin to drink at all? I said, absolutely. We're teetotalers at our church. I said, if I start drinking, if I just have a beer like you just talked about, and I won't be the pastor of the Tabernacle Baptist Church anymore. I can't even have one beer. I don't want any beer. I never did like beer. I never did like smoking. I never did like cursing. I never did like trying a bunch of women out. Amen? I always wanted to be a preacher even before I was even saved. See, well, I don't understand that. Well, I don't either, but God, you can't figure God out. My relative came up to me, Jack McEwen, said, well, Jack, he's in the Liberal Methodist Church, and they paid their salaries, pretty good salaries, at this big Kensington United Methodist Church. He said, Jack, there's no money in that. He was in real estate. I said, I'm not in it for the money. I want to serve God. Amen? I'm not in it for money. Love of money is the root of all evil, friends. The love of God is the root of all good. Look not thou upon the wine. When it gives its color in the cup, and when it moves itself aright, at last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth as an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women. That fellow shouldn't have been talking so lightly about having a beer, because I thought to myself all he had to do is just get a little bit drunk and maybe he'd commit the sin that he was praying he wouldn't commit. Amen? How many men surely have done that? Lot did that! Lot would not have done what he did with his daughters, but he was so drunk he didn't know when he laid down and when he got up! That's the last you hear about Lot, too. It's the last you hear about Noah. Noah was in the ark for over a year, and he gets off the ark, and he's a husbandman, and he makes grapes, and he makes the wine from the grapes, and he's drunk, and his son, two sons came there, all three, but Ham came first of all, and then what happened? He maybe did or said something, we don't know. He maybe did something, we don't know. The Bible's not too clear there, but I know one thing, he was not respectful to the nakedness of his father, which was caused by drunkenness, by wine, from the grapes. Amen? After he gets off the ark, preserved from the flood, saved by grace, he'd walk with God in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation. I'm telling you, Noah made it all the way, but that liquor, it ruined his boy. And the two, by the way, what about nakedness? It says Japheth and Shem, they walked backwards. They walked backwards and they put a blanket or a sheet of some sort over their father, and they saw not the nakedness of their own father. Now in the army you act like a bunch of mules, just bring you all in the showers together. Shem and Japheth didn't do that. Hello? You better not do that either. Amen. One man says, I shower with my daughter. I was in his house. I said, that's wicked and sinful. I said, that's so wicked I can't stand it. It makes me so mad. His wife was right in there. He was bigger than me. He could have thrown me out of his house. I said, that's wicked. He said, I wouldn't get like that. No, I know. And everybody just keeps sinning and gets worse and worse and worse because you won't stand up in the barracks and say, that's sin. That's what you're in that barracks for, fella. Not just to get a good paycheck and so you know how to shoot a gun. Amen? You better shoot that gospel. You better take that sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and work on somebody over there. Amen? Spiritually. Amen? Jab them with... Amen? Look not on the wine! Amen? You won't have to go a whole year before you need to use that one, Brother Emmanuel, in your barracks, huh, fellas? Just take that verse I gave you there and just work on those fellas. You say, well, they'll get mad. Yes, but they get mad, then they get sad, and then they get glad. You got them a third of the way there. You've got their attention at least. Amen? By the way, if you don't tell a man his sin, he'll never want a Savior out of his sin. Jesus said, go call your husband to the woman who'd had five husbands living with a sixth one. He didn't talk about how beautiful the sky and the weather was. Jesus, he said, go call your husband. Oh, I don't have a husband. Thou hast well said, I have no husband. Thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. That's not a way to win and influence people. It's a way to get them saved, though. She got saved. Amen? She left her water pot and she went back into the men and said, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? How did he know she'd been married five times? Just the Jewish passerby. But it wasn't a Jewish passerby. It was the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who was her, even her creator, unbeknowing to her. The anointed one. Look not thou upon the wine. We had a woman at the booth. She got saved last March. She came up to my wife and different ones. She said, pray for me. She said, I get Las Vegas coming up in my mind. And she said, I'm so tempted to drink alcohol. Please pray for me. She said, just pray for me. She acted like she wanted her way out of that alcohol problem, didn't she? She told us, she asked us questions. She said, you believe you're saved by works? We said, absolutely not. No. Baptism doesn't save you? No. She was asking us all this. Then she said, please help pray for me. Salvation is by grace through faith. She had that all straight. It wasn't by works. It wasn't by baptism. It wasn't by communion. She was asking all kinds of questions like that. I was shocked. She said, okay, you believe the truth of the Bible then. She said, please pray for me. I need help. Out of her alcohol problem was the number one thing she brought up. I told her, I said, you can't be a good testimony and drink that stuff. will destroy your testimony. A proud look in Proverbs 6:17. A proud look. Look not on the wine. Look not behind thee. A proud look. Then look unto me and be ye saved. Isaiah 45:22. Look over there with me, please. Isaiah 45:22. I think we need to go back to 20 because we're about ready to set our graven images up in America. Assemble yourselves and come and draw near together in verse 20 of Isaiah 45. Ye that are escaped of the nations, they have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. One just died recently. And there's hope only in Jesus, not some supposed vicar of Christ. No hope in Him. I have to say it again, there's no hope in Him. In fact, if He believes all of His religion promoted, He's in hell right now if He didn't have a repentant heart and trust the Lord Jesus Christ and truly repent. If that makes you mad, you need help. You need to read the 17th chapter of the book of Revelation. The Whore Church is the Church of Rome, friends. Revelation 17. You say, you don't like him. I don't like his doctrine. His doctrines. 1/6 of the whole world is under the domain and teaching of that religion. And the sad thing is, it's a false religion. There's hope only in Jesus Christ, and it's by grace through faith, not seven sacraments. None of the seven sacraments save anybody. Only repentance of sin and faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, accepting the Word of God as our sole authority for life and practice and not tradition added to it. Amen? Amen? You say, you're pretty outspoken around here. Why aren't other preachers more outspoken? And the people won't get involved with these isms and spasms and get all mixed up and messed up. We need to speak up and out. We love everybody, but we don't love everybody's teachings. Amen? There are some people that make their wooden gods. Isn't that what we read about? Tell ye and bring them, verse 21, near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord, and there is no God else beside me? A just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Excludes all others. Then he says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. My faith is not in Joseph Smith, it's in Jesus Christ. Add anything to this Bible and you pervert the Bible. God said he'll add the plagues of the book to those that add to the book, or those that take away from the book. He'll take their place out of the river of life and the tree of life and heaven itself. Don't add or take away from this book. You have enough just to understand it, obey it, read it, understand it, and do it. Amen? Be not just hearers, but doers of the word. Amen? Look unto me and be ye saved. You're saved by grace through faith, or you're not saved. You know what the great cry of the Reformation was? By faith alone. Sola. In Spanish, solo means, I believe, only. Only by faith. We're saved only by grace through faith. Works do not save us. The work of Christ saves us, but our own works do not save us. They don't even make us more saved. Amen? We're saved by grace through faith. By faith alone. Luther was going up those stairs at St. Peter's. And as he was going up the stairs, I think I have the testimony right. And God was bombarding him. By faith alone, by faith alone. For by grace are you saved through faith. And God was bombarding him and showing him that works will not save him. You can go upstairs with cut glass and bleed all over. That won't save you. You can beat yourself like Martin Luther, I believe, did. Did he not? He tried it at first. He beat himself thinking this was going to save him. You're not saved by beating your body. You're saved by repentance of sin and simple faith in Jesus Christ and that alone. So salvation is a total work of God. All you have to do is get in the right disposition and say, Lord, I need to be saved. I'm not worthy of it, but I want to be saved. And He'll save you. And He'll keep you saved too. That religion believes you can lose it too. We don't believe it. If you truly repent, that fellow I talked to yesterday at Walmart, he had that straight. I was shocked. I was really shocked. He said, I believe if you truly repent, you truly believe in Jesus with all your heart and soul, that you're saved forever. I said, man, I'm so happy you believe that, son. I said, you know how many young men like you don't believe that? They believe you can lose your salvation and get it back and lose it again and get it back. We don't believe that. I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. I'm one of those never perishing kind. I'm prone to sin now. But Jesus took my sin that would damn my soul and took it and nailed it to His cross, and I'm saved forevermore. Amen? I'm not going to be saved. I'm saved right now. Some people say, oh, you can't know you're saved till you die. I know it now. Don't tell me I don't know it. I know it so much that I know it. I know it. I know it. Amen? Now, I'm going to be saved from the presence of sin later. But He saved me from my past sins, and He's saving me all. You know, I'm saved by grace. Amen? Keeping me saved from sins, but I'm saved because in 1959 at Central New York Baptist Camp, God reached down and saved a 16-year-old boy. You know what that fellow told me yesterday, too? I think he was the one. He said he got saved at camp. I met two or three people in the last couple of days, and they got saved at camp. Oh, I know. The other one was over at the Food Mart last night when we went over to Captain D's to have a nice fish meal. Boy, it's a good meal. Advertisement. Bethany had shrimp. The shrimp was even good. And I was talking to this young man. I said, I want to go over there and we'll have a meal, and I want to take about 30 minutes and talk to some people and invite them to church here after we all three go over there and eat. And I talked to this one fellow. He's the assistant pastor over here at Emmanuel Baptist Church in Temple. And he said he got saved at camp. I said, that's where I got saved, at camp. Oh, and he said, well, did I drink a lot and everything? Oh, was I a mess, he said, before God saved me. God had to get me in a corner and just straighten me out. Isn't that wonderful? He's saved at camp. Oh, my. That ought to encourage our people. We have camp here every year for you that are visiting with us. We had, what, 5 or 6, 7 saved the first year, and then last year we had, this will be the third year, won't it? I believe it is. Next year we had 12, 15 or something like that saved. We thank God for it. I got saved at camp, 1959 at Central New York Baptist Camp, and I was a Methodist. God will even save the Methodists. Amen? If they'll repent and believe the gospel. By the way, we don't believe that all Baptists are saved either. Just because you go under the water, that saves you. That doesn't save you. Faith in Jesus Christ alone saves you. And then you get baptized to let the world know that you are in Christ. And you're resurrected to newness of life. Then John 4:35 says, say not ye there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they're white already to harvest. Look on the fields. White already to harvest. Then getting back to the other one, I've made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? You make a covenant that your eyes will not look and seek out strange flesh. Hello? Help you to turn away, fellas. There's another pastor down in Austin, and every year he puts in his plea for modesty in the paper, and it's strong. He said, one day I'll have to give account to God for what I put in here every year in their paper, the temple trumpet or something like that. Amen? But you better ask God to help you. to keep your eyes for your wife and for your God. Are we looking on the fields? Jesus said, look on the fields, for they're white already to harvest. Are we seeking the lost? You know why we're not winning the lost to Christ? We're not seeking them. Our Savior was a seeking Savior. And if we're not seeking for the lost, we're not as good a Christian as we think we are. And we better be seeking the lost and get everything else out of our life while we're doing it. When we come to that to church, you ought to be like when you come to Brother Steve Andres's booth and get everything else out. You're not there to fellowship with other Christians, he puts right in his thing. Not around the booth. He said, we are going to pray to get people saved. Present the gospel to them. Like Dorothy Myers did. We've got to be single-eyed. We've got to be united. We want to get lost people to Jesus around here. I'm telling you, a fellow got saved by the name of Wayne Laughinghouse, and the preaching was not to him at all. It was all to believers. And he came out saying, if these saved people are that bad, I'm a lot worse than they are. I need to be saved. Don't worry about what the preacher preaches. Just pray for me and just say, let her fly. Some of you are so worried about how the preacher says it. Just make sure I say it. Amen? If it needs to be said, pray. God answers prayer. You say you're too blunt with people. Listen, if God leads me, come and stick my finger in someone's face. If you've prayed about it, God will lead me what to do and how to say it and what to do. If He wants me to jump up and down 25, 50 times to get people's attention and have my tracks fall all over the place, praise God if someone gets saved. Don't try to correct the preacher and say, feed the sheep. Not interested in people telling me to feed the sheep. I'm not interested in them telling me how to preach around here. Pray for me. Preach the truth in love. I don't need correction. I need prayer. I need support. Amen. Very few are leading souls to Christ out here. Not getting the gospel out. Amen. May God help us. May God help us. To win souls. Do you love sinners? When we come here, we ought not to be worried about how the preacher is going to preach to the people. We ought to be concerned about these people, that they'd have hearing ears and open hearts. As much prayer as I make in preparation for these services, friends, up at 4:30 in the morning till 5:30 this morning, and then up much later than that. If you're not up at 4:30 meeting your Lord, don't find time to find what's wrong with the preacher. Get yourself right with God. We ought to come in here wanting to win souls. You young fellows, ask God to show you how to win souls. Get a plan, and we'll let you deal with them right here at the altar. These little boys and girls that come in on the bus. And you boys can come here, you don't know much of anything, and we'll let you pick on the little ones first. First ones I won to Christ were four little black boys up there on the street in North Chicago up there. I was in the Navy, and I got down with these precious little black boys, and I showed them how to be saved. And it was so wonderful. I was so excited. I didn't care if I was in Africa or North Chicago. I was a little bit in heaven because they all prayed and asked Jesus to come into their heart. And I didn't know how to do it at all, but God did it anyhow. Pretty soon I was showing all kinds of fellas in the Navy how to be saved. One fella got off his knees or raised his head and said, do you have any phone around here? And I said, well, I think there's a phone around here. Well, he said, my mother's been praying I'd be saved, and I'm going to call her. I said, we'll get you a phone, son. We'll get you a phone. I was so excited. Led 30-some people to Jesus Christ up there. I asked God for 100 souls at a Baptist church, Emmanuel Baptist Church, and I got 30-some of them profess faith in Christ. I had a little class of boys by the Navy chaplain. He gave me a class. I didn't know beans about anything. My doctrine was all messed up. But I knew you needed to get saved. And I led every one of my second and third grade boys to Christ. I was using flannel graph and didn't even know what it was all about. But I'd read my Bible and I just said, here's Peter and John, I guess, walking down the street. And Jesus had called them. Man, I was so excited about what I was doing. And you know what happened? They got saved. Even a Methodist chaplain, McDonald, his son got saved. And I heard about that. I heard about that in the wrong way. Let's just quit trying to straighten everybody else out. Let's straighten our own self out and get someone saved. God did not call you to straighten the preacher out. He called you to follow the pastor, the man of God, into the battle for souls. And let's go get them. Let's go get them. We got to get single-minded. Listen, when you guys go over in the war over there, you got to know what you're doing. You got to do your part or your buddy's in trouble. Not just you in trouble, your buddy's in trouble. You have a mission. You better do it right. Or one of your buddies might get blown out of this world. Or you might. Amen? We're going after souls. This is so important. Souls for Jesus is our battle cry, we used to sing at Bob Jones University. They still do. Well, amen. Our last one is, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. We cannot be selfish. We must be emptied of self. I read the commentator Matthew Henry, and it's glorious. You cannot be having a pity party for yourself and be doing great exploits for God. What in the world did Elijah even get done under the juniper tree? The Lord moved him out soon after that, didn't he? Huh? Brother Walton says yes, and Brother Walton knows his Bible. That's what I think. He shouldn't have run from Jezebel. He should have done like old Lester Roloff. He said he should have just turned around and popped her head right off with the power of God that Elijah had. He could have done it. Amen? He was under there having a pity party for himself. And they just slain, what was it, 800 of the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the grove? 800 plus. They'd slain after he called, what? Called the fire out of heaven. After they dunked the offering over and over again. Oh, may God's people get right with God yourself, friend. Quit worrying about the preacher being right with God. Amen? Get saved if you're not saved. And if you are saved, let's go get some souls saved. We have no time to find out what's wrong with Mrs. Farron right at this moment. We ought to pray for you. And we'll pray for you a lot more. Who knows, maybe God will heal you right up, sister. I know one lady on the bus route at Dr. Sleitler's. She had the same thing you had, and they did that. And she lived to be old, old, old. Mrs. McKinney, remember her mom? Huh? Mrs. McKinney. She was gray as could be, sister. Amen? She could hardly walk. And she still come on that church bus to Tabernacle Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. And Dr. Sleitler's wife even came one time on the bus to church. He wasn't young then. So there's hope, sister. In fact, Mrs. McKinney was a good friend of Mrs. Sleitler. God healed her up. We've got a great God. Amen? If we're sick, we need to pray one for another. If somebody's in trouble, we need to pray one for another. Amen? Amen. I'll tell you, if people get against the preacher, you better not be pacifying a bunch of people that are against the preacher, though. Hello? You better back this pastor up, or you're disloyal. Amen? I said you're disloyal. You are not to go to someone who's offended the man of God and assist them. You are not to do that. It's sin. You're sanctioning their sin. Amen? And we all do wrong. We're to pray for one another. Love one another. And I'll tell you what. And I don't expect it from you, Brother Lightsey. Because you've been so loyal to Brother McBaney. And so loyal to me. You've been 100% loyal, brother.
that you came and your wife too. And I'm sure not perfect. I even worked with you out of my fence. I didn't want to stay out there too long with you for fear you might find out some of my failures, because I have so many. But if you turned against me, brother, I don't expect it. The people would have to, until it was straightened out, they'd have to shun you, brother. I said, they'd have to shun you. Not that they didn't love you. They'd have to shun you. And Mrs. Light said, God forbid that ever happened. Amen. Amen. We've been through too much. The Wiccans and everybody. Amen. But if Mrs. Lightsey, they'd have to shun her too. Until it got straight. Hello? If not, it'll never get straight. It'll fester all over the place. Amen? And nobody will feel they're guilty about anything. Instead, it's the preacher's sin. The preacher doesn't have a good attitude. The preacher is so bitter. He's so bitter. The preacher, he's preaching the wrong things. Who said he is? Get right with God! Get right with God! Get right with God! Get right with God! And get right with the preacher too. And get right with the preacher's wife too. If not, you're in sin. And if you don't shun these people that would be against us, you are not loyal to the man of God. Amen? Well, preaching to Christians, aren't we? Amen? Loyalty. Amen. Just obey the Scriptures. You say, someone even got saved after he preached a sermon like that. Heaven forbid. God will save sinners if you tell them how to be saved. If they preach a whole sermon on loving your wife. If God's in it. Amen. If I'd have preached the whole sermon on the Pope this morning, you knew who I was talking about. Amen. And even there were Roman Catholics here. If God brings it up and I bring it out, thank God for it. If nothing else, there's so many other people that are so stupid and foolish in bowing down and loving Him so much, even in your own families. Amen? That it would be good for your children to hear that there's no hope in the Pope, there's hope in Jesus only. Amen? And God could save even Roman Catholics. Maybe not that service, but maybe that service. Amen? Amen? May God help us to be together and unify. Thank you for your calls, Brother Lightsey. Amen? Thank you for your calls. I'm praying for you. Didn't even know the situation. Still doesn't know the situation. At hand. Amen? The preacher needs someone to hold his hands up. Aaron and Hur held up Moses' hands. His arms got weary. And Moses' mouth and hands were not perfect because he got angry with the people, the Bible says, and he didn't go in. He begged God and God said, you're not going in. Aaron, the same thing. Amen? Amen? May God help us to get back to the basics. This is a nice sermon for you, Sister April. Just coming back. Good to see you, sister. Man, you've been gone too long. I said, I hope the devil's not giving her a fit and getting her all messed up out there. I'm glad you're back, sister. She's still smiling, too. She came into our church smiling. And she's still smiling. Amen? Keep your smile. Amen. It's rough with your husband gone. But we'll pray for you, cry with you, and then we'll smile with you. We'll take you soul winning with us. We'll go to the picnics together. We'll try to keep you as busy as we can be. Amen. But we can't jump into your body and feel like you feel. Amen. Because we're not married to Andrew. But you got little Andrew there. Amen. Amen. So at least you got someone to talk to in the daytime. Amen. Better love one another. Amen. Better take time to quit licking our wounds and go and help Sister April a little bit. Amen? Amen. I didn't hear any amens on that. Don't you all love Sister April? Huh? Jesus does. Amen? Our Father and our God, help us to look right and do right. Help us to keep straight. Help us, our Lord, to not offend anybody. Our Father, it's not our business to offend people. It's our business to get right with God, all of us. have true repentance, not remorse, and get right and get in line, and the showers of blessings will come. Oh, God, help us.